You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, August 25th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or watching us on social media or on the app or any of the other ways you can join us. Thanks for starting your week right here. I got a question for you. As Donald Trump continues to attack mail-in voting, let's talk about how popular absentee voting is in Wisconsin. A little quiz here, quick. How many ballots were mailed in as part of the 2024 presidential election in our state? I'll give you some choices. 500,000? 1 million? 1.5 million? I'll have the answer coming up for you in just a little bit. On the program today, how can you tell if someone is considering a run for state office? I mean, it's one thing to check their social media feed, but anyone can sound big at the bar and talk like a candidate when they're just talking through their keyboard. You should check the odometer next. We're going to talk to State Representative Francesca Hong of Madison, who has spent a lot of time outside of Madison. We'll talk about her travels and her very public statements about where Wisconsin Democrats should be headed in the 2026 elections, including the race for governor. We'll also talk about that with the president of the AFT Wisconsin Educators Union, John Shelton. He, too, has been working on a letter that he co-authored along with State Senator Chris Larson about the qualities that voters should look for in Wisconsin's next governor. And in their mind, there had better be a better focus on not just supporting workers, but specifically union labor as well. Also, Vice President J.D. Vance gives the U.S. another black eye, botching a basic historical fact as part of the Trump administration effort to help Ukraine, or to help Russia, I should say, hold on to land that it seized from Ukraine. We'll get to the category of how is this still a thing? And talk about the fake electors court cases. They are still going on. There's been a new development in Wisconsin. Not a big one, but it just reminds us to ask ourselves sometimes, what good is a justice system if it can't quickly bring justice to the people trying to overthrow the government? If the court system can't process it, it can't protect the next election. We're going to talk to Jimmy Koska about the first week of high school football. We'll talk to Brittany Merlot about high school football weather, because it's a chilly one here in Chippewa Falls right now, 48 degrees up on the lake. We'll visit with our friends John and Gordy from our Madison station and Jane Matinere, whose show follows ours. All of that and more is coming up right after we check in with Parker Olson, who is producing this high-quality radio program from the comfort of Madison Studio A2. Parker Olson, how are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. I had a good weekend. I'm ready for a good week. I have my fingers crossed.
You have your fingers crossed?
Yeah, I have my fingers crossed. Okay. You never know. In today's day and age, you never know if it's going to be a good week. You just kind of have to keep your fingers crossed and hope.
Keep your fingers crossed. Well, I'm glad you're doing something concrete on that front. Here, let me help with it.
Oh, boy.
I don't know when I'm going to see you next, but I have a gift for you from the folks at WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids.
Oh, a white shirt. It'll make me look even whiter on this camera.
I hold up a t-shirt about the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Says, catch all the games on WFHR 97.5 FM and 1320 AM. So they would like you to be a billboard for WFHR and for the Rafters. They gave shirts for you and me while I was there last week.
Well, awesome. I am happy to be a billboard for one of our Civic Media stations.
There you go. Alicia offers the sound effect of raucous cheering on YouTube.
Ah, so yes.
I believe that was for you. I don't believe it's for the weather. It was gross yesterday. It was just gross all day.
Really?
All day. Yeah. At one point, I right after the Brewers game, you know, I thought, well, I mean, it's not going to get any better out there. And it always looked like it wanted to rain, but not quite. So I'm like, okay, now I'll go mow the lawn now. I've been putting it off. So I go mow. And of course, about 2 minutes into it, a squall basically comes through, you know, pelting you with sprinkles. Thankfully, it lasted a very short time. So I didn't even stop mowing. It just like pushed right on through. But it was just windy, cloudy. There was a wind chill. I had to go clean out the pontoon because we've got family arriving this week and get all the cobwebs and everything out of it. And it was cold down there with the wind whistling off the lake like that. Alicia saying on YouTube, yeah, no, the weather is too cold for August. It just is. Yeah, this is not. I saw the weather map over the weekend that this is one of those. We always talk about it during the winter. What are they called? A polar express. And this particular air mass came from that same area of northern Canada. So, I mean, it is a polar express by definition. It's not 30 below, but I'm not happy about this.
Express? Not vortex?
Or vortex, whatever it is.
If it's polar express, I would love to know that there was
that the Christmas train thing?
Yeah, yes. Wait a minute. I would know about
a polar vortex. All right. It's Monday morning.
It is. Here. It is. I told you.
I'll just have some more coffee while you laugh at me.
Okay. Fingers crossed for a good week, Pat.
Fingers crossed. Yep. We got all this going for us, which is nice. Let's see. So yeah, did a lot of yard work, housework to get the house ready because we got kids and grandkids coming, which is going to be really nice. I also noticed, let's get into the gardening portion of the show here. We had planted these fingernails don't get too much dirt under them. We had planted some plum trees and, just, you know, two of them, you got to have two, you know, for these kinds of things. And on this fifth year that we have them, we're getting some very nice plums showing up on there. Yeah. Which is starting to beg the question, can I eat those yet? Are they? And I don't know, because it's the first year we've actually had decent plums on there, you know, and they're not going to look all deep purple like at the grocery store, you know. I suppose trial and error is the only way, but I got a feeling by the time I decide to go actually try one, either the squirrels or the birds or somebody will shake them all off there and get them out of there. But
yeah, I'm not very familiar with plums, unfortunately, so I'm not sure I can be allowed to help here.
No, but that's one of the perks of having a radio show, is you can just put it out there and somebody else can say, hey, you know, true. Because, and the reason we chose that was, as a kid, my Aunt Shirley had a big old plum tree, plum tree in the backyard. And I mean, it's just one of those favorite childhood memories of my cousins and I climbing up into this tree and just eating the plums right off the branches. It was so good. They were so good. I mean, it's one of those, maybe I'm romanticizing a childhood memory a bit, but they only get sweeter with the years as you think back on something like that. So I'm hoping, as they would say, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Know, there you go.
To see if we can do that. So we had the Brewers Giants series over the weekend. Brewers dropped 2 of 3, but of course the larger focus yesterday was on the celebration of life for Bob Uecker, which I knew I was going to watch it all, and I did, and it was nice to see Bob Costas and all kinds of folks remembering Mr. Baseball. I don't have any big highlights to share with you other than Robin Yount's, you know, Uecker joke, which was great. It was, you know, when he says, Uke told me, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Classic Uecker.
Yeah.
And I loved the flyover from the 128th refueling unit. It was all kinds of great memories from players past and present that were there. I'm sure you watched it.
Oh yeah, we were watching that too. Robin Yount for me too. That quote was what stood out to me. I loved his bit when he was pulling out the microphone from underneath him and he had it upside down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought was a great nod to Uecker.
He said Uecker taught him that one.
Exactly.
You know, never want to start, you know, too straight on something like this. And it was all very nice. It was a nice remembrance. It was, like I said before, it's a little weird to have it this late in the season, but at least they finally get to have a true public goodbye for him.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
was very nice.
I think it was very nice. And this is not, I refuse to believe that they would do this, but it was very nice to have with the San Francisco Giants, Willy Adames being back in Milwaukee. Because obviously being a former Brewer, I'm sure he had a pretty close relationship with
it. And I mean, look, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if that were part of it, because, you know, Willie was a beloved player for many years here. And Friday night's game was pretty amazing. I mean, you could tell he was touched by the rousing cheers before the game when they played his highlights on the scoreboard, the rousing cheers as he stepped up to the plate. He had to step out of the box and acknowledge everybody a couple of times. And then on the very first pitch, he cranks out a home run. And I got to tell you, there is something special. And I know people were doing this. They're giving him a standing ovation and clapping and booing at the same time. They're like, we love you. We hate you. We love you. We hate you for doing that. We love you. And they did. They love Willie. But he had a very good weekend for the Giants. And Trevor McGill did not have a good weekend against the Giants, blowing a couple of saves. Brewers were up 3-2 in the bottom of the ninth, two outs. And McGill gave up a two-run single, and the final score ended up to be 4-3. Although the Brewers still have a good lead in the National League Central Division as we head into the week here, a homestand with Arizona.
Yeah, I believe it's at 5 right now, effectively 4 with the Cubs having the tiebreaker over the Brewers. I believe the Brewers have lost 5 of the last 8, if I'm not mistaken. So
we're not going to worry about that.
I'm not going to call them alarm bells, but a bell is going off.
A bell? Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to say about the Arizona series? Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Because, you know, you say one dumb thing, you just got to keep going back to that well. So the Arizona Diamondbacks come to town, and you can hear the pregame starting at 6:05 this evening, tomorrow, and Wednesday. 6:05 all 3 days on several Civic Media stations. And then there's a day game Thursday. That pregame will begin at 12:35 later in the week. And then the Brewers head off for a very short road trip to Toronto and come back on Labor Day for a homestand against the Philadelphia Phillies. That'll get going there. The Green Bay Packers had their final preseason game on Saturday. They beat Seattle 20-7. Jordan Love practiced on a limited basis as he recovers from surgery on his left thumb, his non-throwing thumb. I watched 2, maybe 3 plays of the game and was reminded, I don't like preseason football. I have no interest in this, no cheering interest whatsoever, but they were there. So the season opener, by the way, will be September 7th versus the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field, a 3:25 game for the season opener on Sunday, September 7th. The Badgers opener is this Thursday, 8 p.m., hosting Miami of Ohio. We're getting college football season getting underway here as well. All right. By the way, I mentioned earlier about absentee ballots and things like that. 500,000 were mailed in. Another 1 million people used absentee ballots to vote early in person at their local clerk's office for a total of 1.5 million absentee ballots used. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back at 6:23. A reminder that we've got a couple of different newsletters here at Up North News, including our Sunday morning one about Wisconsin politics and politics in general, including our question of the week. This one's kind of a slam dunk, but I just wanted to see what the response was like. And the early response is overwhelming. Should Wisconsin keep or get rid of mail-in voting? Which I know sounds like what, but that's the thing that the president of the United States is again trying to get rid of, vowing to get rid of mail-in voting. So far, folks in Wisconsin like their mail-in ballots. Last week's question of the week was, what should Donald Trump's next job be? Because Sean Duffy said, oh, he wants to be transportation secretary. Do you know that not a single one of you sent that in? So I agree. I think Donald Trump wants to be transportation secretary. Instead, I made a word cloud of it, and I should have made it, Parker, to show up on screen here. But imagine a word cloud with some of the most frequently offered job titles. Now, there's a couple in here like caddy and unemployed.
He's not good enough of a golfer to be a caddy.
Divot filler and septic engineer. Farm laborer was on there. But here, a lot of them, the biggest one, the word in the middle of the word cloud, inmate. There's also incarcerated. There's prison laundry worker. There's felon. There's fugitive. Chief rock breaker was one of my favorites. There was a Trump supporter who sent in vice president should be his next job. So that's there. Working in Antarctica. Retired.
Not qualified to work in Antarctica.
And host of Prison Cribs. So just a few of the things that were in our word cloud from our question of the week. This one a lot easier. What should we do with mail-in voting? The vice president was not much more useful, it seems, to folks lately. And I'm not going to dwell on it long. J.D. Vance was asked by Kristen Welker over the weekend about, you know, what to do about Ukraine, Russia and Ukraine, and is anything going to happen? Vance is saying, well, it's got to be a negotiated settlement. And the clip, I'm going to tell you what he said, and then I'm going to tell you the movie clip it reminded me of. His answer was, if you go back to World War II, if you go back to World War I, if you go back to every major conflict in human history, they all end with some kind of negotiation. And it had the entire world going, what? Was World War II ended by negotiating? I fear that the president of the United States is no smarter than John Belushi's character in Animal House.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
That's it. That's our vice president right there, boys and girls. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? There was a development in the fake electors case. Yeah, the fake electors case is still a thing in Wisconsin and in several other states here. Now, if you need the refresher, because it's been so long, but even before Donald Trump lost the 2020 election to Joe Biden, he was planning to steal it. He was putting plans in motion to sow seeds of doubt, to tarnish the legitimacy of the results, and even to go so far as to get the results changed, telling people in Georgia he wanted them to find more votes. And he had a couple of attorneys with Wisconsin ties create slates of fake electors to submit paperwork saying that Donald Trump had actually won their states, including Wisconsin. And it took forever, but we are finally seeing some motion on this. We are finally seeing the court cases move along. Except that, again, like Trump himself in his criminal cases, these defendants have learned how to game the system, how to drag things out. And so the latest in the Wisconsin case was a motion to dismiss the charges filed by Kenneth Chesbro, a Wisconsin Rapids native, and Jim Troupas, a former Dane County judge who was acting as Trump's campaign attorney. They have previously acknowledged their roles in helping to create organize and execute a plan to offer up, quote unquote, alternative electors. It took until 14 months ago, but in Wisconsin, there were finally some felony charges filed, felony forgery charges against Chesbro and Troupas and Mike Roman, Trump's director of Election Day operations back in 2020. And a Dane County judge on Friday rejected the motion by the three defendants to have the charges dismissed, which means now the court case just gets back to wherever it was in its long, regular process, which leads me to simply ask this question. How is this still a thing? Look, I understand our courts are overloaded. I do. But people, this is about priorities. This was a plot to overthrow an election, to basically take down the United States government, the thing that allows our court system to operate in the first place. And so with these delays, it's easy to understand why so many Americans think the system is irretrievably broken, even to the point where some of them say we should re-elect someone who is working so blatantly to tear it apart. That, of course, is a terrible option. But it was made a more viable option by 4 years of prosecutorial dithering and by coddling every effort by the Trump cartel to run out the clock on the charges. Everyone in the justice system who contributed to this delay should be embarrassed, because justice delayed is justice denied, in this case to an entire country and to its election security. Hey, thanks for spending some time up here as part of your mornings powered by Up North News. We'll have today's history lesson after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
On the bully when cats used to harmonize, like, my men and my women, don't forget about the day.
That harmonizing was not Kristen Lyerly and Selena Heller, though I would not doubt that they could. That they could do that.
Kristen.
Try us.
Yeah.
Try us.
This, of course, was Lauryn Hill releasing her solo album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, this day in 1998. It became the first hip-hop album to win the Grammy for Album of the Year. Welcome to today's history lesson. Yes, at its new and expanded time. And that includes Selena Heller and Dr. Kristen Lyerly on Monday mornings. We are so lucky that you guys wanted to get up a little bit earlier. Thank you.
We love history.
Oh, that's it.
And you. And you, of course, Pat, but history.
It's the history that does it all. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's great. Let's see. We've got a little extra time, so we don't have to rush so much between songs here, which is good because we now need to set aside the history lesson for a new segment we call Kristen Lyerly Living Her Best Life. And So that would include some Packers on Saturday, some Brewers on Sunday. You were camping prior to that. So it's been a good past few days for you, I trust.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. But, you know, there's so much good stuff happening. How do you not go to the Packer game when it's so beautiful? I know it's just a preseason game, but just to be out there talking to people, tailgating. I met these two fellows from New York, lifetime Packer fans. One of them was a Giants fan, but had been fans since the Lombardi era. And this was their first trip to Lambeau. So we got to chat and I gave them some suggestions about what to do and see in town. And it was just so neat. And then I talked with some other folks from Illinois. Like, it is a beautiful day. It was a great game. And, you know, life is good. We are really lucky.
Yeah. And then, of course, you've got the Euchre tribute to which Cassandra puts on YouTube. OMG, I was bawling by the end of it. They did such a good job honoring Euchre. And you were at that one as well.
Mm-hmm, I was also bawling. There's no crying in baseball, but yesterday there was a lot of crying at the New County Stadium.
That's okay. Totally understandable. Okay. And so that ends Kristen Lyerly Living Her Best Life for the weekend. Let's Selena Heller, you got anything to compete with that?
No, this past weekend was kind of my down weekend where we didn't run all over the place. Like, our camping was the week before, so it was just a kind of a catch up at home.
Yeah, Nope, that's what we had here as well. So let's see. Let's get a couple more history notes in here. On this day in 1970, a still relatively unknown 23-year-old Elton John played his first live show in the U.S. at the Troubadour in West Hollywood. The show got rave reviews, giving him a huge career boost here in the States. Let's see. The number one song this week in 1962 was by Little Eva. Little Eva was Eva Boyd. She passed away back in 2003. But at the time, she was the 19-year-old babysitter for Carole King and Jerry Goffin's daughter. And they said, hey, we wrote a song for you. Would you sing this for us? The Locomotion. And it went to number one in 1962. Mm-hmm. I have babysat a lot when I was younger. And
what does that tell you, Pat?
None of them turned me into singing stars. I don't know. You guys babysat. Maliva, one of the world's luckiest babysitters, had the number one song this week in 1962. Let's see. Happy birthday to Gene Simmons from Kiss. He is 76 years old today.
Does he make you think, how long is my own tongue? I always want to measure my own tongue when I think of Gene Simmons.
She's got the famous tongue.
That's a good point.
I don't know. Stick it out. Know. Let's see.
Yeah, what do you got?
It's not that long.
We all just have kind of the
can regular. You touch your nose?
I can.
No. No. No.
Can you roll your tongue? That's a thing, too.
That's, some I people can't roll my roll tongue. It.
This house,
I can do like the hot dog.
Rolling
or do other tricks. Like I have a friend who can do the cherry stem thing, tie a cherry stem.
That.
What?
Yeah. I raised money at a fundraiser for United Cerebral Palsy before because they said, okay, you do that. And I did. And I raised, I don't know, like $100 they gave.
What? I'd like to just summarize what happened here. Selena Heller raised $100 for United Cerebral Palsy by tying a cherry stem in a knot with her tongue.
I'm glad you said it that way. All right. Here's the birthdays continue now.
Good luck that, recorrecting you this.
You got no place else to go. Happy birthday to Elvis Costello, who is 71 years old today. I have to admit, I don't know a lot of Elvis Costello tunes. I love that song because that's me. I love the pop stuff, you know, and that one was a big favorite of mine. And there's a couple of others that I like, but I'm sure there's any Elvis Costello super fans in the group here?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to him. How about Judas Priest? Where's Greg Bach when you need him? Rob Halford turns 74 years old today. And I just remember how... He was floored at the prospect of doing a duet with Dolly Parton not that long ago, or doing something for her Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And he just thought that she was the greatest, and she appreciated him. That's the Judas Priest-Dolly Parton crossover nobody knew we needed. And yet, there it is.
Dolly Parton has done so many crossovers with so many different people. She's the GOAT.
She is, without a doubt. Billy Ray Cyrus is 64 years old today, and because I love my job and I love my listeners, I'm not playing that song for you. So Billy Ray Cyrus
that's fine
and his Achy Breaky Heart are 64. Do not start singing it. No.
I don't even know what it is. So.
What?
I don't think, not by a name. I don't know what song you're talking about.
Let's pretend heart? That Parker never said that,
okay,
and let's
okay,
just move
okay,
on.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I didn't know who sang that.
Okay. Jody Messina is 55 years old today.
I interviewed Jody Messina. Somewhere greener,
somewhere warmer, up in the mountains, down. Now I didn't put down the name of who did the version a couple years back that was a song all about this song, which was Jody Messina's 1996 debut, Heads Carolina, Tails California. And then then she surprised everybody coming out on stage at the Country Music Awards and singing it. But I was in a real 90s country phase part of it working at the big radio station in Eau Claire, which was a country station. And this was, you know, this was on repeat. This song was on all the time, along with a lot of other good tunes from that era. So when did you interview her?
Oh gosh, when she came to Country Jam here in Eau Claire, and she was the nicest, most pleasant person. Mm-hmm. I remember. And then she was like, oh, can I get a picture with you? And it was the cutest, like, what? So she had her person, you know, we were backstage and mm-hmm. took a picture. And I thought, oh, that's really neat. That's fun.
That's great. Thank you, Cassandra. Cole Swindell did the other song about the song, which was a very cool song and a very cool moment as well. The larger question, Selena, is what country stars have you not interviewed? Because you spent many years backstage at Country Jam for that.
I did. I had the Country Jam beat. But the funniest was Carrot Top, the comedian, came to Country Jam.
Wasn't that that was one you did not enjoy that interview, did you?
That's correct. Yes, I've talked about that before. That was
inappropriate. Yes, exactly.
Oh. In a word.
If you take Carrot Top out, because if we're talking about country music artists, you got to. Are you able to say that there is some singer who also did not give a great interview? Shall we say? Or were they all just sweet, wonderful, humble singers?
Low Cash before, they were known as the Low Cash Cowboys. So back then, it was the Low Cash Cowboys who were just in the area. Where were they over the weekend? So, they're here, just in Chippewa. Low Cash was. Because we kind of gave them a start here in Eau Claire. We had them back year after year here at Country Jam. So they were kind of off the wall. Not inappropriate, but kind of wild.
Okay. At no point yet has Dr. Lyerly jumped in and said, oh yeah, I interviewed them too. Or I was you rub elbows with any country music stars?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Actor Blair Underwood is 61 years old today. Rachel Ray is 57 today. And actress Blake Lively is 38 years old today. On this day in 1975, Bruce Springsteen released his third album, and it was pretty much his big breakthrough. You'll hear this and understand why. Yeah, this, of course, would be Born to Run. And a few people, well, actually, a lot of people around New Jersey knew all about Bruce Springsteen at the time. Everybody knew about Bruce Springsteen after this album came out in 1975. Except for some of us who it took the Born in the USA album to come out. But we eventually caught up.
We knew he was there, but we really got into him after Born in the USA.
Yes, that's it. So that was 1975. In 1976, on this day, Boston released their self-titled debut album, mostly recorded in Tom Scholz' basement studio. And yet it became one of the best-selling debut albums of all time. And I saw a TikTok clip over the weekend. This very elderly man comes around the corner in a walker. He's got long, long, you know, gray hair, receding hairline. He's heading to the recliner, and you hear somebody out, his wife or somebody, saying, "Say hello to the TikTok people. Hello, TikTok people." And all the comments, of course, they recognize that it's Tom Scholz, who's a lot older now. He's 50 years older than he was back then, but was saying hello to all the TikTok people. And he should, for having an album that big. This week in 1979, the Knack's My Sharona hit number one for the first of 6 weeks. Happy birthday to the National Park Service, created this day in 1916. So this is National Park Service Founders Day. And this is also National Banana Split Day, which leads to this question. Does anybody have a banana split anymore, where you split the banana lengthwise and put it on either side of some ice cream and fudge, or do you just slice up your banana like a normal person and have it over your ice cream? Selena's nodding though.
I've seen them being served at the county fairs and things late just this summer. So yeah, people order them still. We don't do them at home.
No, I don't think anybody does. Kristen, what's your ice cream go-to when you're going to DQ or Culver's or something?
I'm just kind of a flavor of the day kind of gal. But, you know, the problem with a banana split is you have to cut the banana with your spoon. And that can be kind of challenging. You could have a banana accident.
A banana accident. with those plastic spoons, you know, those are like shanks, I tell you. It's a
you ship. Could break your spoon. You might launch your banana out of the very shallow banana boat and get chocolate all over your white pants.
Yeah.
It's things can happen.
Dangerous territory.
I just don't think that anybody does that. I think they just, you know, like I said, slice it up at this point. But I could be wrong. Maybe somebody loves to make banana splits at home.
Yeah. I don't like fruit and ice cream at all together.
Oh, hey, now
you know what? That's fair.
It is. It's a hot take. Absolutely. A little bit later on, Selena Howe is going to talk to us about weekend events that included Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders coming to Wisconsin to endorse Rebecca Cook, one of three Democrats running in the 3rd Congressional District, and also other stories that she's been covering for Up North News as well. We'll also be talking to meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and we'll also talk to UW Green Bay professor and AFT Wisconsin president John Shelton about the 2026 governor's race. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. It's a Monday morning. It's August 25th, 2025. And let's see, it's right now in Chippewa Falls, 48 degrees. In La Crosse, it's 50 right now, Oshkosh 49. And in front of the Black Cat Coffee House in Ashland, it is 47. Pick Ashland because I figured that might be where Tony gets his cup of coffee. Well, we'll have to find out where his favorite breakfast place is in Madison. Selena Heller here with us, Dr. Kristen Lyerly as well, on this Monday morning. And it's for some folks, it's back to school week. I've still never quite processed that because I grew up at a time when the first day of school was always the day after Labor Day, which on the one hand does make sense. You're bookending your school year. You start the day after Labor Day, you wrap it up Memorial Day. Summer is that period between those two holidays. Obviously, a lot of people, you know, fudge it one way or the other. And it's still a little weird for me to start school and then go, okay, now everybody have a 3-day weekend. And usually it's a 4-day weekend because people are taking off on Friday, right? So I don't know. So, Selena, what are they doing in Eau Claire?
Start after Labor Day. So we have like a welcome or a meet the teacher day the day after Labor Day, and then school starts a full day the next day. And okay. I did a story a couple of years ago about, you know, was how Wisconsin does that and they want, you know, the economy a last big punch before the ending of the summer. So that's kind of the sentiment. People get out and spend money quick.
We live here, so we forget that people vacation here. This is a tourist destination, so we still need people to be working in tourism driven areas on Labor Day weekend. So I totally get that. But we start the day before, 2 days before Labor Day in De Pere.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Alicia says her oldest is starting classes at Fox Valley Tech today. Tony on YouTube says that Washburn starts next week. So, and I've got, you know, kids, grandkids coming out this week, which means that yes, the 6-year-old is starting first grade today. Today's the first day of first grade. Oh. We talked to him yesterday and he said, "What do you think, buddy?" He's like, "I'm excited, but I'm a little bit nervous."
Oh,
like, it's okay, bud. You're gonna make friends. It's how I feel every Monday morning. I'm very excited, but always just a little bit nervous, you know. So we've
got. Is it us, Pat? Do we make you nervous?
No, you guys.
Is
you
it
guys
all of this feminine energy on Monday morning? Is that
girls? No, you guys are the antidote. This is you guys make my Mondays. I'm so thankful that you guys come in. And it's a big week for us. We've got the both daughters coming in, all the grandkids, including the oldest one. Today's his 19th birthday.
Yay!
It's still, I mean, again, every year on Mason's birthday. I have to process that. Like, I've been a grandpa for 19 years.
19 years.
And Selena remembers when he was born.
When he was born.
Yeah, that was the year I was running for legislature. Yeah. It was just a crazy year now.
You guys were walking in the parades and
yep, pushing the stroller with him in there. And yeah, now here
bring your own baby to kiss. That was smart. Very smart.
Exactly. And now here he is getting set to join the Air Force. He just graduated high school. So this is just really exciting. Wow. And Kristen, you have an exciting week coming up as well. And I see why last week was so great with the camping and the Packers and the Brewers, because you know, you're not gonna do quite so much of that this week.
I had to squeeze it all in last week because I'm having my knee replaced on Wednesday, which is crazy. It'll be the fifth surgery on that stupid knee. So hopefully this is the last one.
Is this a accident? What started all of this?
Oh, I had a stupid traumatic skiing accident and
I
broke my stupid leg and it's been stupidly messed up ever since then.
And so just hopefully this will fix it.
Stupid knee.
It's frustrating. I'm active. I ride my bike 100 miles on a regular basis in the summer. I do yoga and like I try to keep myself healthy, but you know, sometimes you just health gets out of your control and you just have to go with it. So that's what we're doing on Wednesday.
So I am in no way, shape or form passing judgment or being critical. I'm asking this to a doctor. The balance between, you know, they say, you know, motion is lotion and all that stuff, but is there also this notion of, well, maybe 100 miles of biking and all that yoga has kind of accelerated this need for it?
Well, the thing that accelerated the need for it is my inability to acknowledge that I should not have been skiing. So
we're still coming back to skiing. It all comes back to the one stupid day that you skied. You know?
Stupid. No, I skied a lot. The problem is I'm very bendy. My joints move too much. So when I fall, my joints don't help me. So I've actually injured myself numerous times skiing. This time was really bad. So I should have read the warning signs in the previous injuries that I had, but I did not. So that was not a smart move on my part. And now I'm paying the price.
Okay. Robin Tigerton says Tigerton schools start the day after Labor Day. Marion schools start today. Yeah. So yeah, I suppose every one of them is different. I don't want to give away everything here before Brittany gets here, but Rob did say he had a busy weekend at the Tigerton Lumberjack Days and filled up on corn at the corn roast. This was a big weekend for corn roast. Loyal had their corn roast. Who else had their big one? Was it Sun Prairie or some other place just had theirs? And we finally figured out the right way to go about doing this. We would get sweet corn every year. And of course, now it's just me and Sherry. So we, you know, just get 4 or 5, maybe 6 ears of corn and just eat them. And that was it. And this time we actually got extras. And after it was cooked, cut it off the cob to warm up later. And if anybody's wondering if that's worth it, or does it just taste like regular old corn? No, I don't know why we didn't do that before. I really don't. It's amazing. So go get out there and support your local farmer. Buy that sweet corn in bulk, people.
Emery's has so many teeth missing, I have to cut it off. So I can.
Poor thing.
Yeah. I said, do you want me to cut it off? Yes, because it's too hard.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to be talking to John Shelton. He's a UW Green Bay professor and president of AFT Wisconsin, talking about the qualities Wisconsin should look for in its next governor. 2 more hours to go as we get rolling on one of these mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.